This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. And I just realized as I was listening to the intro, we say you'll be more intelligent at work tomorrow, but we're recording on a Saturday.
Yes,
so
we've been a little.
You should not be working on Sundays.
We've been inconsistent in our.
Well, sometimes it's the next day, sometimes it's 2 days, but eventually you'll be smarter.
The other
at
thing
work.
Is, sometimes you say hello, hello, and sometimes you say hello, hello, hello.
There is a three.
So I don't know which what that indicates.
I don't know.
Today
that indicates
was only
anything.
Two hellos.
I don't know what it indicates at all. I started saying that, and I just keep doing it. It's just how I open the show, folks. I'm not a YouTuber going, "Hello, friends, welcome back to my channel." We're not doing that. So
that's good. I'm glad we're not.
Let's get into something a little more interesting. We've already lost one listener, I know for sure. You wanted to talk about Tommy Robinson. Or is it Tommy?
I think it's Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson. We'll start that. Tony came in with this, and I agree that it's something we want to talk about. So lay it out for the folks what we're talking about here, because I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with
it. I want
to
make sure. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
I'll look it up while you're...
If you haven't heard this story, and by the way, I won't be surprised if you haven't heard this story, because the media in our country... have not really been emphasizing this.
It is Tommy.
Okay, so and that's actually not his real name. There's a guy over in England. He goes by Tommy Robinson. If you read the press over there, he's a so-called extremist right-wing activist. But basically what the guy does is that he has concerns about radical Islam, concerns about immigration. And so he goes and reports as a citizen journalist outside of courtrooms, and what he's done recently was he was reporting outside a British courtroom where there was an ongoing rape trial, not just for one person, but for multiple women who had been raped and sexually assaulted by a number of Muslim men. And this is very reminiscent of Rotherham. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard. If you haven't heard of Rotherham, you should probably Google it and read about it. But that was it. That was a case in England where literally thousands of women, girls, over a period of, I think, about a decade, were raped and brutalized and sexually assaulted by a large gang of Muslim men. And by the way, I will throw in the standard disclaimer. We're not saying that all Muslim men behave this way. But it just so happens that, unfortunately, within the tenets of Islam, women are not exactly considered to be co-equal branches of the family structure. And so when you have these fundamentalist Islamic men who get in groups, you tend to see this kind of thing going on. So Rotherham was hidden by the authorities. They actually intentionally swept it under the rug because, again, they don't want to appear Islamophobic, which is the worst thing you can be. In fact, it's even worse than being a law enforcement officer who's looking the other way when hundreds of girls and women are being raped. Apparently, Islamophobia, if you tilt those scales, that's worse. By the way, it's not Islamophobia to arrest people who are raping women and girls. In any event, Mr. Robinson was reporting on this rape trial, and he was promptly arrested outside of the courthouse, shuffled off immediately to a judge, and within a matter of hours had been sentenced to 13 months in a British prison, where it is very likely that he will be assaulted and attacked in general mm-hmm. population and may even be killed.
Yes.
Because there are many Muslim men who are not going to be pleased with him in general population. By the way, he's not a hardened criminal. This man was literally reporting the accurate facts of what was going on during, they call it a grooming trial. They were grooming young girls and women to be sex slaves, mm-hmm. basically. Now, this is going on, I repeat, in England. Understand, England does not have a constitution like we do. They do not have a First Amendment. However, it is, I guess it should be concerning to any person, the cradle of Western democracy in many ways, mm-hmm. the country of England, our forebears, where our colonists came from, has now gotten to a place where a man is being is going to serve a prison sentence for 13 months for reporting the truth.
At least 13 months.
At least 13 months if he survives, for reporting the truth about what's going on in an English courtroom. And even more astonishing, the capper on this is that the same court has also, now wait for it, also ordered the British press that they are not allowed to report on what has happened to Tommy Robinson. Do you follow that?
Not only are the press
not allowed to report on the truth and the facts of this ongoing case, now that Mr. Robinson has been shuffled off to some prison for this thought crime, the press are not allowed to tell people about what has happened to him. Again, this is not happening in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or the Ministry of Peace in a George Orwell novel. It's happening right now in jolly old England.
Yep.
So whenever you hear people sort of scoff at the notion that the pillars of freedom, speech, liberty in the Western world are under assault, I refer you to Mr. Tommy Robinson.
Okay. You said it wasn't his real name, and that is correct. His real name is Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon. He goes by the pseudonym Tommy Robinson, but he's also been known as Andrew McMaster and Paul Harris. So he's got a couple different names he goes under. You're right. He was reporting, and I want to stress this, he was reporting the names of the people in the trial when he got picked up.
Yes. I mean, he wasn't even giving, by the way, not that it should matter if he was editorializing, but he was literally giving the straight scoop, like you would find in a newspaper. Here are the defendants in this case. Here's what the case is about. Not allowed to do that anymore. Certainly not when it comes to Islam. I sort of wonder whether Mr. Robinson would have been hauled off immediately if, say, there was an ongoing rape trial involving, I don't know, Catholic priests or bishops.
Anything,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the authorities' alacrity in arriving to remove Mr. Robinson and put him in a dark hole somewhere might not have occurred. Meanwhile, the police are busying themselves throwing this guy in prison. And by the way, he was in jail within 24 hours. That was the process that he was subjected to. Apparently, no lawyer. Apparently, no time to have a hearing. It's, you're going to jail because you're guilty of propagating bad think.
Well, let me give you a little background on Mr. Robinson. He founded a group called EDL, the English Defense League, which is considered fascist by the mainstream media in England. And he was trying to highlight the issues of Sharia law, including Islam's attitude towards minorities and the phenomenon called grooming gangs, as you spoke to earlier. Most of these descended into violence, shockingly. And the mainstream media was not, nobody paid any price for calling them fascist and making all this violence, except apparently Tommy Robinson. So you're right. I think it's amazing to me that reporting names of people on trial, which it should be a public record, is somehow a jailable offense for 13 months because you don't like this guy's politics. Now, I don't know Tommy Robbins personally. Before this week, I'd never heard of him.
And I don't really care whether perhaps he does have extremist views. I haven't taken the time to review whatever this guy has been involved in. All I'm focused on is the fact that, again, we have a Western democratic country that has thrown a man in jail for reporting facts about a trial, and even, again, more disturbing, has also decreed that the free press, there's a joke, is not allowed to tell people what has been done to Mr. Robinson.
Correct.
And this is in England.
Correct. I think that bears a lot of witness from those around the world, because I've heard people say, well, Sharia law isn't really being enacted in places. You're just making that up to make us all afraid and scared for ourselves. That's why you're anti-immigrant, so therefore you want to make sure none of these people come here. But we've talked about this on the show. In England, there are places that are no patrol because of the Sharia law, because of the Islamic violence. They do not go there.
And what is increasing in leaps and bounds right now, Chad? Attacks with what? Now that we have knife attacks everywhere. In fact, now there's judges in England talking about laws. Of course,
London wants to ban knives.
Or we have to take the pointy part and shave it down. This is inevitable. And one final point about this. What is going on in England, it also goes on in Canada. We've talked about this. Canada does not have free speech.
No.
Canada jails people, prosecutes them for writing articles, pointing out Mark Stein. We've talked about Mr. Stein. Yep. He's not the only one who's been hauled in front of their kangaroo court, whatever it is, social justice tribunal, because he wrote an article pointing out that radical Islam is not good. The left, the political left, and that is now what dominates elite culture in England and in Canada and all these other enlightened places, they would do exactly this if they could in this country.
Yes.
If you don't believe me, go on a college campus, spend about 4 hours there, I don't know, talk about Donald Trump, tell someone you're a Republican.
Or a MAGA hat.
You'll find out very quickly that free speech is no longer a value, never has been a value for the left, but they are becoming increasingly emboldened. And again, we talk a lot about Donald Trump. One of the things that would have increasingly gone on under a Hillary Clinton presidency is that this sort of, let's use the right term. I mean, this is essentially what happens in fascist countries.
Yes.
This is what would happen to someone in East Germany
when
you don't toe the line. This is what happens to somebody in the Soviet Union when you deviate from what Pravda has told you to say. This is happening in England. It's happening
in China right now, I'm sure.
Yes, of course it's happening in China. That's a communist country.
Yeah.
We are veering very close, inch by inch, step by step, in the Western world towards this sort of totalitarian type of government. You say, oh, Tony, come on. Totalitarian. What do you call it, ladies and gentlemen, when someone is thrown in jail for over a year for reporting the facts of an ongoing trial? And what do you call it when the government tells the press, you may not tell anyone that this has happened? I'm not really sure what else to call it, Chad.
I think that's exactly what it should be called, and there's no other way to look at it. And I get tired of people telling me that the press has a freedom to do everything except report the truth. Apparently, that's beneath the press in our country included in a lot of cases. This is a scary thought that this could happen. And this is the way they want us to all go. We're constantly being bombarded. Europe is a nicer place. They understand. They're forward thinking. They're not like you guns and Bible toting idiots over here. They know things, and they're better at this.
And the way you get a forward thinking culture is to throw all the backward thinkers, scare quotes, into jail.
Yep.
That hastens the forward thinking.
Yep. It does, and that's what is being projected for us, and we're going to talk about a gentleman later on who went to jail for his beliefs, not for what he did. So let's move on. So you brought up inequality, if I want to use that term. This week, some inequality happened, and I'm going to say three names. And I want your first reaction when I say the name.
Okay.
Joy Reid.
Pity.
How about Samantha Bee?
Unfunny.
Roseanne Barr.
Also unfunny and vile.
And vile.
Okay. Samantha Bee, also vile.
All right, so we're going to talk about that. So this week, Roseanne Barr, get me back here, put out a tweet that ended her show. Came back this season, and now it's no longer there.
Yeah, and let's be clear. A racist tweet.
Completely.
Undoubtedly. Basically compared Valerie Jarrett, who was President Obama's kind of consigliere. She compared her to an ape.
Yes. Everything she said was wrong. Should never have been said. And even apologizing for it, she got exactly what she deserved. I don't care if she supports Donald Trump or not. It was wrong. Period. Wrong. Samantha Bee. Let me play a little clip here, and the parts that need to be bleeped are bleeped. So just warn everybody.
Samantha Bee was criticizing the first daughter and White House senior advisor for posting this loving photo with her son, while at the same time, critics accused the president of tearing apart undocumented families.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless On her TBS show Full Frontal, which shoots here at this studio in New York, the TV comic called Ivanka a word that many consider the most offensive term that can describe a woman. Now, people are comparing Samantha Bee's slur to Roseanne's racist rant.
So that was feckless blank here. Joy Reid is under fire for things she's posted in the past, and she continues to be on the air. Samantha Bee continues to be on the air, and Roseanne was canceled. Now, I'm not going to get into the political ramifications of that. They should all be canceled. Each and every one of them should be removed from the air. Roseanne has been. The other two should be. Because of what they've said and what they've done, they should not be on the air. Do you agree or disagree?
You know what? It's funny. I might actually disagree with you in the sense that I just have I don't want people fired and their lives ruined for saying contemptible, odious things. Now, look, let me make a clear distinction. ABC, which is the network that carried Roseanne's show, has the absolute right to say, we're running a business. Your statements are indefensible. They made a lot of people outraged and angry, and we're going to sever ties with you. I think they clearly can do that. And there's many people that say
should they have. Do you think they should have?
My point is that we're in a place right now in our culture where anything that anyone says that is inappropriate and offensive, of course, offensive is now an infinitely elastic concept, so that there's entire industries built on becoming offended by something. I don't like a place where, look, let Roseanne Barr say those vile things, and now we know. And look, by the way, is this a surprise?
Shouldn't be.
Roseanne Barr's history is saying these sorts of things.
But she did it before, Disney didn't own them.
I philosophically have a problem with this instinct, this kind of mob mentality. And this is true for me whether you're on the left or the right. I don't like people's careers and livelihoods immediately ruined because the pitchfork-wielding social media mob has decided that's beyond the pale. You must be cast into outer darkness. I have a general problem with that. People are free to criticize, and there are consequences that come with that. So I understand that, but this instinct to destroy people for saying things, and here's my other issue. These are words, yes?
Sure.
They're offensive words. There's a difference between saying things and doing things.
There is.
Okay?
Agreed.
So, look, Joy Reid is a complete crank. I think she should be in a mental hospital. They're unearthing things now from her blog where she's a 9/11 truther. Shock. And of course, previously when she had posted things that appeared to be, let's just say, anti-gay or not woke, she then claimed somehow that, I just can't imagine that I actually wrote. See, what happened is there was a conspiracy of people who went back to my 8-year-old defunct blog and hacked into it to make it appear that I might have said things that are offensive. What? So she's a lunatic, okay? Do I want her to lose her job? See, my attitude as well is I want these kind of people to continue spewing their nonsense so that we know who they are. Fine. Mm-hmm. You want to identify yourself as a racist, as someone who traffics in the most absurd conspiracy theories, and you want to stay on MSNBC and they want to vouch for you? Great. All that, you do a better job than I do in undermining any shred of credibility that you may have. I have a problem with the cultural status right now where that's it. There's no forgiveness. There's no mistake. And of course, the second point, which I want you to address, is who did ESPN just rehire?
Keith Olbermann.
So the reason that people have reacted to Roseanne Barr being fired is because yet again, which was the point of you playing that clip, we see this breathtaking double standard where if you are on a certain part of the political divide, you get a pass. Mm-hmm. So Samantha Bee drops the C word, also basically says that Donald Trump is going to engage in incest with his daughter. That's literally what she was suggesting. She issues a Twitter apology and everyone moves on. Why? because the people that employ her hate Donald Trump.
Sure.
And so it's kind of okay. Oh, yes, yes, you shouldn't say that. Meanwhile, Roseanne Barr, because she has sided with Donald Trump, was equivalent to siding with Satan or Hitler or whoever else you want the left wants to compare him to. That can't be allowed. And so what winds up happening, and it's unfortunate, is you will then have people defending Roseanne Barr because they are so sick of this double standard where only one side of the debate is ever punished by these people. And I understand that instinct, but you can't allow yourself to be dragged into a situation where you're now actually defending what she said.
No, you have to
separate those two things.
Well, I don't think you should be defending Roseanne Barr at all, period. There's nothing to defend.
Right.
There's nothing to defend. This is who she's always been. She just happens to be siding with Donald Trump from the presidency standpoint. But she's always been a vile person, a vile comic. And I agree, unfunny. I've never found her particularly funny. I didn't watch the show recently. I watched it early on in the late 80s. But I don't know when I stopped watching it, but it was many years before it ended. Samantha Bee, I don't want her on the air. You might want them on the air. I am sick of people using this as a news station. These late night comics are not news. They are comics. Yet they are considered, when they have a point they want to hear, they're news. They're hard hitting. They're got the pulse of America here. No, they don't. And Joy Reid does not have the pulse of anything. I'm not even sure she has a pulse sometimes. She is so blatantly out there. I can't understand it. Now, you say you want them all in one place, great. They can all go to MSNBC. So we know not to go to that channel because they're all nutbags on that channel. Or CNN. Or you pick the channel. I don't care what it is.
CNN has actually, in many ways, become almost more absurd than MSNBC.
Well,
they really have.
And that's hard to believe, but you're right. It has. I don't want to defend any of them. I am tired of all of them being vile, period. I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'm tired of it. Maybe I want to take back my entertainment. And not that I watched any of these shows, but I want to take back entertainment where I don't have to listen to this. I don't have to, you know, make sure my daughter doesn't hear this stuff because I'm sick of it. All of it, including Roseanne. I don't want to hear it. If you want to be vile, be somewhere else. I mean, we've talked about this. I'm not happy about the president tweeting the way he does. I think it's horrible. I wish he would stop doing it, but he keeps doing it. You know, I'm not defending him. I'm not defending them. I'm just tired of it. I want it to go away. Is that possible?
No, it's not possible. It's not going to go away. The other thing that I find just laughable is you now hear, I mean, I've seen some articles basically trying to say, well, yes, it was wrong for Samantha Bee to use that word. However, this is the culture and the atmosphere that Donald Trump has created with his crude and boorish and misogynistic language. No, I'm sorry. If you have read anything that the left has said about, go back to Reagan, go back to W, the idea that this is Donald Trump's creation, these people have been spewing this kind of vitriol and hate for over a decade. I encourage you, do a search. They're probably hard to find now because Google's probably buried them. Do a search for some of the cartoons, the editorial cartoons that were drawn of Condoleezza Rice when she was in the Bush administration.
Yeah.
They are the most, you want to talk about racism?
Mm-hmm.
Her as a bird with giant lips. Her sitting on George Bush's porch talking in pidgin English, right?
Mm-hmm.
The absolute direct racism of those cartoons and the left and the leading Democrats, they couldn't care because she's in service to evil people because we don't like their politics. So this is the problem now is people are not going to listen to any – we talk about this all the time – is this whataboutism? It's not whataboutism. It's that the people, whataboutism, let me explain again. Whataboutism is to say, well, I know that that guy did something, but what about this other person that did something? So we're going to deflect. No, no, no. What I'm saying is that the so-called elites in our culture that are now aghast, okay, at what Roseanne said, they have no credibility whatsoever because they have demonstrated that they don't actually care about racist statements or sexist statements or any other hateful statements. All they care about is exploiting it when people who don't agree with them politically can be destroyed. And my point is, when you have now demonstrated you don't take any of this seriously and all of your outrage is entirely fake, no one, you don't deserve to be listened to.
No, you don't. And then there's, I want to bring up three names. You said your career shouldn't be ruined because of a statement. Okay. And this, the first one's probably not career ruined, but on TV ruined. Rush Limbaugh on ESPN because of a statement about Donovan McNabb.
But here's the thing. We need to be very clear. What Roseanne said was racist.
Two different things.
Rush Limbaugh never said a single thing that was racist
about
Donovan McNabb.
But he was tarred as racist.
Absolutely.
And kicked off the air.
Yes, and what he said about Donovan McNabb, if anyone... Donovan McNabb, when he was the quarterback of the Eagles, he was... Rush was on as an analyst, and I challenge you if you... Because the urban legend now is, oh, he said something racist.
He did not.
What he said was, is that the media was desirous of an African-American quarterback doing well. Mm-hmm. Chad, true or false, is that statement correct?
Still true, was true then.
It had nothing to do with Donovan McNabb.
Nope.
And in fact, if you actually go back and watch the clip of that show, Tom Jackson, African-American man, very outspoken, can't stand Donald Trump, on the left of the political spectrum, great player for the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, after Limbaugh said that on set, Tom Jackson, I encourage you to try to find the video of this, says basically, I can't really disagree with that.
Because it's true.
Michael Irvin, I believe, was also potentially there. I don't know.
Remember who was there.
Maybe he was still playing. But Tom Jackson, in the moment,
mm-hmm.
as a black man, says, yeah, there was no reaction to that. Mm-hmm. It was only after the machinery of the racial bomb-throwing demagogues got working, Rush's got to go. So your comparison, while legitimate
names.
In terms of what happened to him, I just want to make it clear
he was
that
racist.
Statement
Correct.
Was not racist in any way, shape, or form.
He was fired because it was deemed racist, but it was not racist. Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek, that's right.
Al Campola.
No, Al Campanis.
Campanis, sorry. Who called them, called black players little monkeys, I believe. Is that what
no,
he said?
No.
Effect,
I think,
on Nightline?
No, actually, so there's a couple different... One of the things that Howard Cosell got himself into hot water
yes,
for...
Yes, he got fired from Monday Night Football for the same
when
thing.
When he said, and I forget who it was, something about, look at that little monkey go. Now,
yeah.
If you know anything about Howard Cosell, I don't think Howard Cosell has a racist bone in his body. And
so.
If you listen to the broadcast, the idea, obviously it's an unfortunate turn of phrase because it's a freighted expression, but I don't think Howard Cosell meant anything by that. The Al Campanis, who was an executive with the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
said that African-American players lack the necessities.
Oh,
and that is, see, again, that is certainly a statement that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, I'm
is
not
it
sure,
racist?
I'm not sure if it's a racist statement. It's a misguided statement.
Okay.
And it certainly reflects a view of African-American people that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't have a problem with people being offended by that, but this other idea about tarring someone as you are a racist in your heart because you made this statement, how do you know that?
You don't.
This gets back to my
point.
But
he got fired for making that statement.
And I, you know, that's fine. My point again is, do you know how this person lives their life? We are now literally judging and evaluating a person
in sound bites
based on a single thing that they've said.
Yeah.
I have no idea, and neither do you,
nope.
and neither does the
Nobody
most
does.
Activist BLM member, whether Al Campanis is a racist.
He's even still alive.
He
I don't
said,
even know if he's still alive.
I don't know. He said something that he shouldn't have said, and that demonstrates at a minimum that he thinks about African Americans in a way that is incorrect. But all people want to do is use that. It's just something that is expedient for them to destroy someone.
Correct.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah, he died in 1998, so he is no longer with us. But you didn't talk about Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy, I forget exactly. I know that he said something, but I can't now remember what Jimmy the Greek said.
I just wanted to bring up that you said people shouldn't be removed, but these are people who have been removed
from
public life and never recovered.
No.
Rush probably less...
Well, I mean, that hasn't really
affected.
Hurt Rush at all.
He took him off TV, but it didn't do as much. I can't remember what it was.
Well, one other point that we should make about what Campanis said and what ended his career. This notion, again, African Americans lacked the necessities. I think he was talking about managers in baseball. It was clearly this idea that in some ways they don't have the ability intellectually to do something like that. And that's just flat out wrong. But isn't it fascinating, Chad, and we've talked about this, in the context of an issue, let's say, like voter ID, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the left's favorite hobby horses, this notion that it is racist and it is the new Jim Crow to require African-Americans, not only African-Americans, all minorities, require anyone to obtain a photo of themselves in order to vote. And the crux of that argument, and I point this out all the time to my friends, I have one friend in particular who loves to call Republicans racist because they support voter ID. And I said, you know what? That's an interesting statement to me because I would think, let me make sure I understand your position. You believe that African Americans are uniquely, among all racial and ethnic groups, are uniquely incapable of going down to a DMV and obtaining a photograph so that they can go vote. In other words, that task is so Herculean in its impossibility. Again, it's not impossible for white people or Asian people. It's only impossible, apparently, according to the white progressives who, this is their narrative, it's only impossible for those lacking necessities, African American. They just can't manage to do it. Now, I say to him, I don't know. If I was an African American, I'd be kind of offended that you think that I am that incompetent, incapable, and helpless that I can't do the barest minimum of driving or walking or taking a bus to get. And by the way, how did I actually ever manage to get on an airplane or obtain a loan or cash a check or buy cigarettes or beer? I must have lived my entire life in quiet desperation because I just don't know how to do that. See, that to me is inherently racist thinking, isn't it?
It has to be. You missed a part. If you go to the doctor, you have to provide a photo ID to get treatment.
But no, Chad. If you're African, you need to trust me. You just can't do it.
You have to get it to get on the plane now, and you've had to for years. And soon, you're going to need a passport from the state of Pennsylvania to get on a plane.
Well, that's just so the equivalent of Bull Connor and the fire hoses.
I guess there's not going to be any African Americans flying out of the state of Pennsylvania
and again,
if that logic holds.
And the best part about that debate is that when they poll African Americans on that issue, substantial majorities favor it. So the only reason I digress to that is what Al Campanis was destroyed for saying is precisely the mindset that most progressives have towards this patronizing, condescending, no, you need to trust us. You're just not up to it. You can't do it. Believe me, you need to be offended. You are being oppressed. You are being oppressed by the evil white man because they're requiring you to go get a photograph. And trust us, you just don't have the ability to do it.
See, you're partially right. If you vote Democrat, you are being oppressed by the evil white man because that's what they've always done. They keep you down. They keep you subservient to the government to get all of your services because you can't do it yourself. Let us do it, and then we're always in control. Now, I did find Jimmy the Greek here. So he was fired in 1988 because he said, and I quote, "The black is a better athlete to begin with because he's been bred to be that way because his high thighs and big thighs that go up into his back and they could jump higher and run faster because of their bigger thighs. And he's bred to be the better athlete because this goes back all the way to the Civil War when during the slave trading, the slave owner would breed his big black women so that he could have a big black kid. See, that's where it all started." And he was fired. Rightly so. You can't say stuff like that. It's insane.
No, you can't say that. You can't make those generalizations. However, this also brings up another interesting taboo topic. Charles Barkley talks about this a lot.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to point out, and again, I'm not suggesting we know why this is true, but anyone who watches sports, NFL, NBA, How many white cornerbacks, not quarterbacks, cornerbacks are currently starting in the NFL?
If I were to guess, I'd say none.
Zero.
I think Jason Sehorn was the last one I could think of.
That is correct. How many starting white running backs are there? I mean, I don't know exactly, but would you agree?
Full-time running backs? Yes, I can't think of
there's
any.
There's almost none. I mean, if you want to put in McCaffrey, he's not really a full-time running back. What is the percentage or the ratio of African-Americans at the highest level of basketball in the NBA? The NBA is probably, what, 75, 80% African-American?
At least,
I mean, there's been an influx of European players.
Yeah.
The only point here is I don't think anyone who watches sports, who has played sports at the highest level, that's not us, but observing it, is that there are clearly positions, and most of these positions require speed. Right? Explosive speed that are dominated by African-Americans. Now, the problem that Jimmy the Greek has is now he is engaging in this sort of pseudoscience and saying, this is true and we're going to generalize about all African-Americans. Of course, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Because there's a ton of African-Americans who aren't faster and aren't stronger and don't play basketball. And that's the problem with generalization. But on the other hand, we're not even allowed to talk about these things. This is the reason that Charles Murray, okay, who is a distinguished scholar, who is an incredibly reasonable, this guy's not a polemicist, he's not a racist in any way, he wrote a book called The Bell Curve. Most of the people that have never even read that book and can't even understand that book have immediately tarred Charles Murray as a racist because he had the audacity to say that there may be some inherited reasons, genetic reasons, to explain differences in IQ across groups of people. He never said, never ever said, African Americans as a group have lower IQs than other people. Never even came close to saying this. And in fact, he repeatedly in that book says, we don't really know why these things exist, these differences, right? What he does say is, well, there are certainly observed gaps between different races. Asians tend to actually, as a group, have even higher IQs than any other group. We're not even allowed in this culture to examine those issues empirically, right? To talk about them. You're just not allowed to say that. That's why Charles Murray, when he goes to speak now, he's routinely attacked and demonized as essentially a guy who's a Klan member when he wrote a peer-reviewed scholarly book that doesn't even say what these people accuse him of. This is another one of my issues, is that all these people that say, Chad, we need to have a conversation. They don't want a conversation about anything.
No, they don't.
They want you to shut up. We won't talk about facts because these areas are off limits. That is not a healthy polity.
There is some physiological research, to your point about athletes, that African-American athletes tend to have a higher number of fast twitch fibers, which gives them explosive speed. Not everybody, obviously, than most white men. But that doesn't mean there's no white men with fast twitch fibers. It's just that's the thought process for the speed. But who knows? I don't think it's genetic. I don't think it's racial. It's whatever you got genetically. I think that's bad that we can't talk about those things in an open and honest way. Not maybe Asians have a higher IQ. I don't know why. Okay, that's good. Some. I mean, it crosses. I don't think women or men are inherently smarter than the other. I think it's probably split equally, or some. Maybe it favors one or the other. I don't know, and it doesn't really matter.
But there are certain, you know, for instance, you can't avoid the fact Jordan Peterson, who is another guy that is under attack for basically being willing to say things that you're not allowed to say. Look, there are clear differences between the sexes in the kind of fields that they tend to gravitate to. There are vastly more men who are in the fields of engineering, in the hard sciences, theoretical mathematics, physics. Does that mean, Chad, that we can conclude men are just better at math than women?
Nope.
No. But there are clearly differences. More women are teachers. More women go into different, again, there's sociological issues there, cultural issues, inherited genetic trait issues. We don't have the answers. But again, my point is, you're not even allowed to say this.
And that's wrong. That's wrong that we can't even talk about
it. Well, it's not even
it.
That it's wrong. It is unhealthy.
Sure it is.
We should be in a place as a culture where we can actually discuss these things and maybe disagree about them. But if they're just all going to be removed from the public square, cannot discuss it. This is why Larry Summers, a pedigreed liberal at Harvard, dared to make comments about some of these differences between the sexes. He was sacked.
Sure.
Just can't say. And then, of course, everyone has to give these groveling Soviet-style apologies. I, for once, would love someone to say, you know what? I'm not apologizing because what I said is not offensive. I mean, you may be offended, but a reasonable person who is interested in a conversation about truth, about finding out things.
You at least say you are.
Yes. I don't care whether you said you're offended or not.
Yeah.
Because if the measure is the heckler's veto, someone's going to be offended.
Yeah.
And so I need to be quiet because you're offended?
No.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I get tired of the I'm offended by your words. I'm offended by your thought. That gets old. I guess I feel like we've talked about this in the tech industry. Tech tends to attract socially awkward, not all, but socially awkward people who are very intelligent, I would say. They seem to gravitate that way.
Well, you have to be.
But they're socially awkward. So if you're not socially awkward, you don't necessarily fit in with those people. So you're not going to hang with those people. You're not going to go into those fields. If you are socially awkward, you're looking for a place where you fit in and where your skill set works. It's more for me, it's biology, but a lot of environment that kind of breeds some of this. And unfortunately, it's not a male, female. It's not a Asian, black, white, doesn't matter. It's all everybody, but you tend to gravitate. I tend to hang out with people I like to be around, that are comfortable to hang out with and talk with and not feel on edge all the time, just like everybody else.
And the reality here is that all of the people that are squealing and hectoring and screaming and saying, "You must shutteth up. We will not allow you to talk about these things. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're some kind of ist," right? Attach whatever kind of ist you want, is their entire worldview lumps people. They do not view people as individuals.
No.
The entire point of someone.
Well, maybe I just did that.
Like Martin Luther King, right?
Yeah.
"I want to be judged by the content of my character, not the color of my skin." And what the left does is they judge everyone by the color of their skin.
Their diversity.
Because your tribe. What tribe are you in? In fact, the sort of the prefatory remark now that anyone says when they express their opinion. "Well, as a member of..." Wait a minute. "As a member of..." Can't you just speak for yourself? Aren't you an individual who has an opinion? And so the very same people who denounce in the most extremist terms, stereotypes and generalizations, and isn't this awful? That's their entire worldview. Mm-hmm. You belong in this group. You belong to that group. You belong to this intersectional group that is part of two groups. And by virtue of where you rank in this group, you're entitled to certain prizes, certain redistributed things, because we're going to determine who has the most grievances. And then they're shocked. I've pointed it out before. They are shocked when the biggest group decides, geez, maybe we should get together as a group and be proud of our heritage.
Yes.
Now, I'm not defending those groups that are focused on white power. Of course, they're despicable people, Richard Spencer and his alt-right crew.
Mm-hmm.
But what the left doesn't seem to realize, they are mirroring exactly what you do every day when you don't view people as individuals. That's a white man. And white men do certain things. They join militias and they shop at Walmart and they drive jacked up pickup trucks and they vote for Trump and they put engines up on blocks in their yard that isn't mowed, right? Down the list. And they're icky evangelicals who do their snake handling and dance around with chicken heads and pray to the flying spaghetti monster. All of this nonsense, they spew that stuff every day. But don't dare you make a comment about another group that lumps them together like that. And my advice would be, perhaps you people should stop treating everyone as a tribe and actually say, "Hey, I just met a person today who's I don't really care whether they're Asian, green, black, pink. They take them on their own merits as they are as a person. And by the way, as Christians, that's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
We don't view people by their skin color. We don't view people by their class or their wealth or where they came from or where they worship. Take them as they are.
Yeah. That's
everyone's created in the image of God.
Correct.
And so that's why this entire debate about you need to not say things about groups of people. Well, that's all you advocate. Your entire worldview is advocating lumping people in the aggregate and then determining what they're entitled to get because of their affiliation with a specific group. This is the society you have now created.
Hmm. Well, you make me think of a quote from a former president. You may have heard of him, Barack Obama. He made a quote one time when he was running. He said, "I don't represent a white America or a black America or Latina America. I represent all of America." Except for 8 years, he tried to separate us into groups to pit us against each other for 8 years. So
the clingers, the bitter clingers.
The bitter clingers to their religion and
guns. Do you think he was referring to African-Americans when he said the bitter clingers, Chad?
I don't think so.
I kind of don't think so.
I think he was thinking about the guys with their Bible and their jacked-up truck and the gun rack in the back who join militias and all that stuff that you think you know about us. I agree with everything you said. It's sad that we put people in groups. I think mentally it's easier sometimes to put people in groups, but it's not good because nobody fits completely in one group. You cross boundaries. I think of an example. When I was in high school, I was in sports teams, but I was also academically advanced. And I don't say that to brag. It's simply that most of the people I was on the sports teams with were not academically advanced. And most of the people I was academically advanced with were not in sports. So I crossed the boundary between the two, but I was in a small school, so that happens. But you couldn't have said, well, he's a brain or he's an athlete and exclusively put me in either group because I wasn't. And I think that's what we tend to do with society. Well, you look at somebody across the street from you that you don't know, your neighbor, and you go, okay, I've made a decision about this person because I've seen them collect their trash, or I've seen them get their mail, or see the car they drive, or heard them have an argument with their spouse, so now I know everything about them. You don't. You don't know hardly anything about them, and if you want to know them, go talk to them. Get to know them. Then you can make a decision whether or not they are what you want to hang out with or not. But I still contend we hang out with people we like because we like them, and it's comfortable and it's easy. It doesn't always
wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Obviously, as human beings, we associate with people that we have common interest with.
We all do.
That we enjoy being around. Yep. But we should strive not to be so cloistered in our interactions with people.
And that's I
say that to myself.
Well, that's everybody, because we all tend to get in a comfortable rut and go, okay, I don't really want to expand whatever I'm talking about. Now, our Sunday school class, we strive, not always successfully, but we always strive to have open seats so that when somebody comes in the room, there's place for somebody to come in and feel comfortable to walk in to a group of people they don't know. And we make an effort to go out of our way to talk to them. And I shouldn't say make an effort. You should talk to them. It shouldn't be an effort. It's just somebody's new. Get to know them. Talk to them. Make them feel welcome and comfortable, whoever they are, wherever they're coming from, because you don't know. That may be their only experience with God and experience with a church. And if you turn them off, they may never come back. And that's on us for not being open and welcoming.
Yep.
So we'll move on from there. But that was a long topic to get to there. But we need to be better at what we are, I feel, than sometimes we come across, and that's myself included. So, Donald Trump has a superpower, as The View calls it,
superpower. Many evil superpowers.
One is called the power to pardon. Now, The View feels that his use of the pardon is just icky. He shouldn't be pardoning people. Now, I want to play a real clip from Joy Behar.
Oh, such short memories we have.
I can't. She is so dripping with sarcasm.
Do you do this to torture yourself playing?
I sometimes do. Well, I just look at different things and I'm like, there's two sides to every story, but you're really slanting it one direction. So let me play this.
Trump may want Samantha Bee to pay for what she did.
Yes.
But he's also letting some bad behavior off the hook. He just pardoned right-wing activist Dinesh D'Souza, for campaign finance violations, and he's reportedly thinking about pardoning Apprentice alumni Rod Blagojevich, who was on this show many years ago.
Former governor of Illinois.
Yeah, former governor, and Martha Stewart, who are both tied, coincidentally, to James Comey.
He prosecuted those cases.
Yes.
Right?
Is he? Do you think he's sending a message to his pals that, like, you know, Michael Cohen and Manafort and the rest of them?
Of course he is.
That, you know, don't worry, don't talk, don't sing, my little canaries, because daddy will pardon you. You think that's what's going on?
So I want to point out something. Dinesh D'Souza served his time. So pardon now just removes the crime from his record. He served his time, paid his fine, has 5 years of probation since all this happened. Rob Blagojevich is a Democrat, former governor, who sold, or at least was convicted of selling Barack Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. So that's kind of despicable. But he's in prison right now, and I think he got 18 years for it, which, I mean, you could murder somebody in Illinois and get out sooner than that.
Yes.
And what do you say? Who was the other one? Martha Stewart. She served her time already. So Joy Behar saying these people are getting off their punishment. Most of it's already been served years ago. So now you're coming back and saying, oh, he's giving them a pardon? Martha Stewart's also a Democrat.
The only thing that I have to say about this, well, I have two things to say.
Spelled Dinesh. It's Dinesh D'Souza, not Dinesh, or whatever she said there. Go ahead.
Just go ahead, do some research on the rogues gallery of people that Bill Clinton, going out the door, pardoned, including people like Mark Rich. I don't have time to talk about Mark Rich.
Look it up.
Look it up. Look up Eric Holder's participation in this. Anyone who didn't say anything about Bill Clinton pardoning people that were essentially scum of the earth just needs to shut their trap about Donald Trump using the pardon power. The other point that needs to be made about Dinesh D'Souza is that he was prosecuted for giving – for the most trivial campaign – now, look, everyone agrees he violated the letter of the campaign finance laws.
Yes,
right?
He did.
The problem is that anyone else who had violated the law in the fashion that he did at the level he did, he basically gave some extra money, I think to the tune of maybe $20,000, to his college friend who was actually running for office. She lost by 40 points, didn't influence the election. And he is the first person who did that basically in the history of the world who was even prosecuted for that. Most of these people wind up paying some minimal fine to the Federal Elections Commission and go on their merry way. Mm-hmm. But because the Obama administration and its crusading prosecutor hate Dinesh D'Souza, why? Because he makes films criticizing Barack Obama and Democrats. Not only did they prosecute him, they indicted him on two separate felonies, which never happens, and they wanted him to go to jail. He would have been the only person in, again, the history of the world to serve a single day of prison time for that crime.
Yeah.
So this was a clear case of prosecutorial abuse. Mm-hmm. They decided to make an example out of Dinesh D'Souza because they could. By the way, the same administration and prosecutors who went after Dinesh D'Souza like he was the Zodiac killer – The Obama administration, this is all, again, down the memory hole, they were guilty of violating federal campaign finance law to the tune of millions of dollars. This is not my opinion.
Yes, it's fact.
This was demonstrated by, they then paid, after the fact, some kind of fine to the DOJ to the tune of like $300,000. Was anyone prosecuted for felonies, Chad?
No.
Dinesh D'Souza gave a friend of his a couple extra $1,000 for her campaign for something that no one even ever thought about prosecuting before. The Obama administration took in millions of dollars in funds that violated the campaign finance laws. Everyone knew it. Everyone laughed. Later on, after it was over, they wrote a check off the public fisc and paid this to the DOJ. So absolutely, Dinesh D'Souza should have been pardoned. And to your point, he actually had to spend time in a halfway house.
I saw
6 months?
5 months, 5 years probation, $330,000 fine. He's already done all that. So the pardon now just expunges it from a record.
Yes.
I don't think he gets the money back. He certainly doesn't get the 5 months back. and the probation's already occurred. So what's the difference? I think the fact that and it came to my attention with Dr. Fia. He went on a multi-page rant on Dinesh D'Souza, who some of his tweets I would agree are not wonderful.
Oh, he's an incendiary guy. I don't actually agree with everything. In fact, much of anything necessarily that Dinesh D'Souza says. He has a whole theory about Barack Obama, this sort of the roots of Obama's rage, and that's totally irrelevant.
Correct.
You can despise Dinesh D'Souza and call him misguided and wrong about his political views and his attacks on Barack Obama. Some of them have some merit.
Sure.
That is separate and apart from acknowledging that what was done to him was a perversion of our justice system.
It was a complete perversion of the justice system. He attacks Ted Cruz in this same script because Ted Cruz says, a terrific day for justice, saying Dinesh was going to get pardoned. Stood strong, did the right thing, and hiding our celebrating with you and Dinesh. That apparently was the evangelical standing up for the man and, you know, being on Trump's side, even though Ted Cruz, I don't think, has ever said, I am a Trump fan or supportive of Trump. But that's Dr. Fia. Again, Dr. Fia, to me, shows his true colors every time he writes something about Trump wants to be vote Democrat.
Look, I think Dr. Fia is a very smart guy and great historian, but I didn't read that particular piece. What I can say is that I believe anyone who has a problem with pardoning Dinesh D'Souza, number one, better have been on the ramparts screaming about the pardons in the Clinton administration. But also, anyone who actually examines the facts of the D'Souza case and does not concludes that that was a justified use of prosecutorial resources and consistent with how the law had been historically applied is either willfully ignorant or being completely disingenuous.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think he knew, Dinesh knew he broke the law. He admitted to breaking the law. He did admit to the crime. They did want to charge him with another trial and carried a 5-year term, which he didn't get. All that stuff done. Why he did it, I don't know that I've ever gotten a good reason. He had to know you're giving too much, but he still did it. You're right. It was never prosecuted before. It should never have been prosecuted.
Again, this is like somebody who gets a ticket for speeding because they were going 80 miles an hour on the highway, and then the one guy who happens to make films about Barack Obama gets hauled off to jail and prosecuted for some felony while driving their car. If you don't prosecute other people for this particular crime, and we agree that it was a crime under the campaign finance laws as written, then you are abusing your authority as a prosecutor. And we are entitled to conclude that the only reason that you did this to Dinesh D'Souza was for political reasons, because you can't stand his positions and you had the power to make him suffer. That's what the Obama administration was about for 8 years, using the power of the IRS and other agencies, including prosecutors, to go after people that they had political differences with. And the culmination of that is the Trump-Russia farce that is unraveling daily as we talk about it.
This sounds an awful lot like our first story with Tommy Robinson, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it?
It seems like, Now, The View goes on to say that Trump is using his power of the pardon for political purposes. To which I say, duh. It's always been used for political purposes.
Yeah.
Where have you been? That's all this is for.
But it's the wrong political purposes,
correct.
Chad. It's,
well, they cite a grandmother who's been in jail for 20 years that Trump said, I'm very seriously considering pardoning her. They're angry because she hasn't been pardoned yet. But if I go back in my Wayback Machine, let me see. Bill Clinton could have pardoned her because she's been in jail for 20 years. And so could Barack Obama, and he didn't. Neither one of them did. But suddenly it's Trump's fault that he hasn't pardoned her yet because she has 20 years and she shouldn't be in jail.
Right. Which is the same point can be made. You were talking about Samantha Bee. Everyone's outraged about these children being separated. Was that going on during the Barack Obama administration?
No. Ilian Gonzalez, does that ring a bell?
Well, Ilian Gonzalez, but in fact, the photograph that good old, was it Ben? No, it was Jon Favreau who was one of the guys in Obama's orbit, part of his team. He tweeted out
Director
a photograph.
Iron Man 1 and 2, by the way.
He tweeted out a photograph of a child in a cage. Not really a cage. It's a containment facility. It's not great. and was just on this rant about how the Trump administration, how heinous this is, not either lying or not realizing the photograph was from the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Because their enforcement people under the law were doing exactly the same thing. And we don't have time to get into this. We are not actually intentionally separating these people from their parents.
No.
What happens is that people come here illegally, then they declare asylum, and there are different rules. And what winds up happening is when you declare asylum, there is a process that takes time, and the law does not allow you to confine people. So the law itself forces this segregating of the family. Now, maybe the law is misguided. Maybe we need to change it. But them shrieking about Donald Trump enforcing the law, it was the same law that good old Barack and his people were enforcing for 8 years, and no one really cared.
Well, no, because it wasn't a big issue then. Lots to talk about that. I want to move to our last topic, and we have another topic. This came to my email yesterday. This is from a company called Penn Waste. If you don't live in Pennsylvania, you don't know this. There's a connection here. So the title is Recycling Markets Have Collapsed. All right? What's that mean, Tony? Well, it goes on to explain over a period of 4 pages of printed material that most of the recycling is sent to China, where it is processed and reused and sent back in cardboard boxes or bottles, whatever. Well, apparently China's wised up and said, we can't make any money on this stuff. It's too costly to send it to us. So it's sitting in warehouses, rotting or decomposing or whatever, if it's getting rained on. But here's the kicker. Penn Waste is owned by a gentleman named Scott Walker. Or Scott Wagner, sorry.
Not Scott Walker.
Yeah, not Scott Walker. Scott Wagner. Now, if you're not from Pennsylvania, you don't know this, but Scott Wagner is running for governor of Pennsylvania. And he has...
As a Republican.
Penn Waste has a large contingent of South Central Pennsylvania, which is a fair number of voters. And he's claiming $800,000 a month on the recycling contracts he's gotten with the municipalities where they service. Now, I have to believe he's not really losing $800,000 because that's not sustainable. And two, if you go back and try to get more money from the municipalities, you're going to lose those votes. Feel pretty good about that. So he's not doing anything until after the election is my guess. But then they're hinting that they may need to go back to municipalities and raise the rates to do this. My contention? Burn the cardboard. Burn it. It'll be ash. You can throw it on the trees, make some more cardboard or paper or whatever you want to do with it. Recycling it makes no sense. Throw it in a big compost pile, dump some water on it, pee on occasionally, and you will get your compost and you will get your recycling material. Glass, a little harder, plastic, a little harder, but the cardboard, that's an easy solution. But what do you think about that? Do you think Scott Wagner is holding off on the big push because he wants to be governor? He won't be able to run the company.
I hadn't seen this story.
Just came out yesterday to me because I'm on their mailing list.
It puts him in an interesting position. If I was Scott Wagner, I wouldn't be sending out any kind of flyer like that until the election.
Kind of dumb.
I just what does it get him?
I think he's just prepping the market for when I'm coming back for those rates and I'm going to jack him up.
Well, the other thing is, with all this talk about Trump and the emoluments clause, that puts Wagner as a governor in a difficult position because you have huge conflicts of interest if you're now going to, let's say he's governor, and now he may not be actively running his business, but nevertheless, that's how you became a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And now you're going to say, hey, you know what? Penn Waste, even though I'm not involved in any of this,
they're
renegotiating all their contracts for recycling with all the various municipalities. And when those municipalities agree to accept jacked up prices that's going to come on the back of the taxpayers, that's not a good look.
Well, he's claiming the contracts, this email's claiming 3 to 5 year contracts, and they want to renegotiate them now, but DEP won't allow them to renegotiate and get an exemption for disposal of this recycling. And they said they'd do it now, so it's stepwise for the customers instead of a huge jump at the end. To which I would say, you're not the only game in town, Mr. Walker. Wagner.
Why can't we throw all the recycling into that erupting volcano?
Well, apparently that would be bad for the environment.
It would be bad for the volcano?
It'd probably be good for the volcano. It's more fuel for the fire.
I think if we got like a giant Zeppelin
hauling
a huge, you know, like a James Bond
style.
It's
1916, folks. Just giant Zeppelin.
Yes. Because that's what all the evil people have.
That's exactly right.
Trump, I really think that Trump, because he likes to troll people, I've said from the beginning that he needs to have a blimp.
Sure.
That is like a black blimp with a giant like T on it that looks Prussian and just fly around to his various campaign stops in it, because it would drive people insane.
Oh, we have a listener who might think that was coming for him.
Right.
I know that.
Sort of like there's one of those Bond movies where Christopher Walken, was his...
That was so dumb.
I forget what the
Living
guy's
Daylights.
Name was. Yeah, it was really stupid.
It was a dumb
but
movie.
But that would be so perfect, because I also said that Feudal Trump kill. Should have taken to driving around in a stretch convertible Mercedes, right? Just like Hitler.
Rolls Royce.
Like, I mean, if they're going to call you Hitler,
you might as well
drive around and have one of those riding crops.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you might as well just play it up.
1938 stretch... Phantom Silver.
They're going to call you Hitler because you eat two scoops of ice cream. You might as well drive around in a giant 1939 stretch Mercedes, right?
I like it. I like it. So that's coming for those of you who live in the markets with Penn Waste. There appears to be an increase in your rates coming soon, but probably not until after the election. Win or lose, there's a rate hike coming. But if he wins, it probably won't be him who's doing it. It'll be somebody else at his direction, of course, but it will still be happening. So I wasn't a huge Scott Wagner fan, but I'm a less of a Scott Wagner fan after reading this article.
Well, the problem is this is yet another one of those, do you want Scott Wagner or do you want the current governor?
Yeah, I don't want the current governor either.
I don't love Scott Wagner, but I'm afraid that on that balancing test, it's pretty easy choice for me.
Sadly, you are correct. It's another 2016 presidential type of deal. You can pick one or you can pick the other, but you're not going to be happy with either choice. Anything you want to talk? I was totally wrong on the NBA finals. I picked the two teams that did not make it, somehow gacked away the chance to be in the finals. And
well,
we got a.
And I have to point out that I was basically, I did say the Celtics were going to win, but I also said specifically if they allowed Game 7 to be close, that LeBron was going to win. In the fourth quarter, the Cavs were going to win.
Yeah.
So I feel that I was vindicated and correct in my assessment.
I grant you vindication. I grant myself supplication for having sucked up to the wrong people, and they failed me yet again. I think the Chris Paul situation for the Rockets really did them in. They really were not the same.
Oh, absolutely.
Team.
I mean,
the Celtics
the
just
Rockets,
couldn't seem to find a way to win. I don't understand.
Both of those teams, we should point out, this is our quick end of the night sports thing. The Rockets, the Houston Rockets, if you're not a basketball person, you need to understand that the Rockets were built by Daryl Morey, who's their GM, for the sole purpose of beating the Warriors. That has been the white whale. And the Rockets basically shoot 40 to 50 three-pointers a game. That's the league now. You shoot threes. They built a team with James Harden and Chris Paul. Chris Paul's not a great three-point shooter. He's decent. And Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza. You go down the list. That's what they do. They jack threes, and they usually shoot them at a pretty decent percentage. And their offense, that's how they beat people. In the deciding game against the Warriors on their home floor, Chad, do you even know this? Did you watch any of the game?
I watched the end of it, and it was disgusting.
The Houston Rockets missed 27 consecutive three-point shots.
Can't win a lot of games
almost,
that way.
They went one for their last 30. That is actually almost statistically impossible. I don't even really know how that can happen. And I agree with you that had Chris Paul played in either of those games, the Rockets would have beaten the
It wouldn't
Warriors.
Have made him make those three-pointers, but it surely would have distributed the ball better.
Well, they would have had another guy that was shooting three-pointers and actually...
And a better, well, maybe.
Yeah, the Warriors were in big trouble in that series. The Rockets demonstrated that you can flummox their offense. And by the way, the Rockets are not... they're not a historically great defensive team by any stretch of the imagination, but they played hard. They got up into their shooters.
Could that be because their coach has never heard the word defense?
Well, you know what? D'Antoni's actually a really good coach, but you're right. I mean, he's not known.
He's an offensive coach.
He's not a lockdown defensive guy.
No.
He's let's score more points. But to his credit and his team's credit, they got after it. against the Rockets.
They did.
I mean, against the Warriors, and they should have won that series. And by the way, the Celtics, the same thing happened to them.
Oh, I know.
They had the most horrific three-point shooting night in their team's season when they cratered against the Cavs.
It almost feels like it was rigged, doesn't
no.
it? No. Come on. Two teams, back-to-back nights, could not seem to get out of their own way and were against character. Now, luckily, in my opinion, we got the fourth year in a row for the Warriors Cavaliers. Great.
Wait, is that,
yeah, awesome.
You seem very excited.
Woohoo! Outside of Cleveland fans.
You know the ratings people like that because LeBron, you know, LeBron will attract the eyeballs.
Maybe.
One way or another.
I would say they've detracted my eyballs. I've seen this.
Did you see the last game of J.R. Smith?
I did. That was not good.
If you're not interested in basketball,
It was not good.
The game was tied with 4 seconds to go. George Hill had been on the free throw line. The Cavs were trailing by one. He made the first free throw to tie the game. He missed the second free throw, and J.R. Smith, quirky, eccentric, air-brained J.R. Smith.
Oh, you were good up to the third one.
Yes.
That was almost kind.
Yes. got the offensive rebound directly under the basket. 4 seconds to go in the game. The game is tied. What do you do, Chad, in that situation?
I would think you try to get a basket.
You try to score. J.R. Smith dribbles away from the basket towards the three-point line, clearly thinking that the Cavs were ahead. And in fact, after all of his stupefied teammates are looking at him, LeBron James is his arms outstretched, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He then kind of realizes, we're not ahead? And you could hear him mouthing the words, I thought we were ahead. Later on, apparently JR met with his PR people and decided to say, no, I fully understood that the game was tied. You see what... because I thought we were going to take a timeout, and no one seemed to ask him, can't you take a timeout?
Good.
You mean you need to dribble past the three-point line and then wait for your coach to take a timeout?
Yeah.
And then it was sort of, well, and then I was going to get the ball to LeBron. He clearly – here's the question, Chad. There have been other people, funny sort of iconic gaffes with sports.
Chris Webber
timeout. There was a game that actually Steve Kerr mentioned during his press conference. Derek Harper, who was a very good guard at the time for the Mavericks, who did the same thing where he thought he was dribbling out the clock at the end of a playoff game against the Lakers because he thought his team was ahead. It was actually tied. And so he dribbled out the clock and went into overtime and they lost. The difference here is the clock was stopped. Someone was shooting free throws. It shows on the scoreboard what the score is.
Sure.
I mean, you're not in the moment running around, perhaps getting confused, and yet because J.R. Smith exists in his own plane of existence, he just didn't realize that the game was still tied.
It begs the question how you can be that dumb. Because
it's not a question of being dumb.
Well, no,
it's
no,
a question
on.
Of being oblivious.
You will always... try to score. That is your job.
No. Well, no, wait. You can't say that. Because if they're leading by one, that's the right play.
Okay.
To dribble away. You don't need to score.
So
you need to run out the clock.
You're telling me Ty Lue didn't tell him,
right,
get the ball and score. LeBron didn't say when they were on the line after they had the two free, get the ball and score.
They don't say that because you don't need to say that. What they do say
is... Well, obviously
is
they do with J.R. Smith.
The score...
They need to say that.
No, they don't need to say that. What they need to say is, we are trailing by 1 point. If George makes one free throw, the game will then be tied. If George makes another free throw, we will be ahead.
We'll be behind. Oh, yeah.
We'll be ahead.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you don't understand what the score is in that situation is mind-boggling.
Maybe you can't read numbers.
I don't know. And of course, the spin on all this was LeBron James played one of the great games in NBA Finals history.
Yeah.
Scored 51 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He could not have played better. But I actually had to laugh, and I was texting with our friend Eric about this, who's a LeBron James worshiper, and that's fine, that the media's reaction to this in article after article was not J.R. Smith blows game for Cavs, okay? Because that's what he did.
Yeah.
No. It was J.R. Smith blew the game for LeBron. We are so upset for LeBron. LeBron has now become a team unto himself.
Sure.
The media, their infatuation with him is such that they don't care whether the Cavs win. All they're worried about, how could you have ruined it for LeBron? As if LeBron is the Cavs.
Well, is he not?
No, he isn't, actually. I do not remember. There has never been a time. Okay, Michael Jordan was idolized globally. Mm-hmm. He was the best player in the league. He was the focus of the media attention, justifiably so. But I don't remember a single article ever saying, and this was literally on The Ringer, Bill Simmons' site.
Really?
J.R. Smith can never be forgiven for this. Because he ruined the game for his team? No, because he ruined it for LeBron. As if all the Cavs care about is making sure that LeBron's legacy remains intact. Because most of what these people are worried about is, oh no, if LeBron loses another finals, now he's going to be 3-6 and he'll never ever pass Jordan. Is this how we're supposed to be reporting on sports?
I thought that's all they did. It was all about getting LeBron another title. Not the rest of the team. Ty Lue. Yes. It was getting LeBron
another
title.
It's kind of like they're in LeBron's family, and his teammates are failing LeBron. They're not failing themselves, apparently,
no.
Or Cleveland or the Cavaliers.
Yeah. They're not going to get a title.
They're only failing LeBron. And shouldn't we feel so terrible that LeBron played so great and the Cavs lost? Yeah, he did play great.
I feel bad for him that they lost because he did play so well, but I saw a lot of people complaining about the reffing.
It's this cult of personality. I mean, it is amazing to me. Every article that I read, the reporters were literally angry at J.R. Smith. Again, not because he blew it for his team, which I think is the point.
Sure.
You're playing a team sport. It's because he ruined it for LeBron, and that was the greatest effort LeBron had ever given, and now LeBron is sad, and he's not going to catch Michael Jordan. It is just ridiculous the way that they are reporting on him.
Well, here's what I would say if you're a LeBron fan, which I'm not particularly a LeBron fan. I'm not an enemy, but
I like LeBron. I admire LeBron.
I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good player, the best player out there right now. But the fact that it went to overtime and they were so close anyway, unless they emotionally collapsed.
They did.
Well, they did there for J.R. Smith. But I'm saying the series was expected to be a blowout from the Warriors beating whoever came out of the East. I think this makes me feel like, well, maybe it won't be a blowout. Maybe it won't be a 4-0 sweep. Maybe it will. I mean, it still could be if they collapse, if they can't emotionally rebound
But the narrative, is that the Warriors are this invincible,
which they
invincible
are not.
Machine. The Rockets put the lie to that.
Sure.
The Warriors are a great team. If they win this year, they'll have won 3 championships in 4 years. That is a dynasty. But the Rockets demonstrated this team can be beaten.
Yes.
And yet, see, the media doesn't want that narrative either because
they want them to be great so that when LeBron beats them,
they want them to be the greatest team in history because when LeBron beats them, that will be the latest week when
LeBron.
But
they are not the greatest team in history.
No, they're not even close.
They're not even as good as they were 2 years ago.
That's the point, is that it's the same team in terms of personnel. Now, Andre Iguodala is hurt. Of course, apparently Andre Iguodala is the most important person on the Warriors,
apparently.
Even though he's their fifth best player. But you're right. They are not the same team that they were last year.
No.
For whatever reason, their offense does not run the same way. They go in these long areas where they look lousy on offense.
Yeah.
And then they're so talented that they have these spurts beginning the third quarter. They've got these shooters, and then Durant and Thompson and Curry go off. But the media is invested in two things.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that the Cavs, other players, are basically cadavers.
Yeah.
Who are the worst collection of basketball talent ever assembled, because that means LeBron has to drag them all by himself across the finish line, and the team that they're playing would have beaten the Monstars just like Jordan did in Space Jam because they are the greatest team in the history of the Western Hemisphere.
And
neither of those
true.
Things are true.
No.
The Warriors are a great team. They are beatable. I think this is still going to be a series, partially because LeBron's the best player in basketball.
Sure.
And when you have the best player in basketball, you can challenge anybody.
Well, like it gets hard, and it doesn't matter what the sport is, it gets hard to continually, season after season, get back to this level. You got to play a long regular season. I mean, they could play up to 100 games each year, win or lose, to get to this point again to win a championship. That's a lot of time to get emotionally up when you've won two. You go, okay, I won two. Just my heart's not in it. We want to put this thing on these athletes that they just always want to win. But, you know, some days you just don't have it. Some days you're just not feeling 100% or you just fought with your wife. You got to worry about money. You got to whatever. You're just not into it. And that happens. It's hard to stay focused.
Here's the other question I'll leave you with.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen another athlete in terms of the media's reporting on him. Here's the thing. Our culture celebrates winning.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, to an extreme. Where we dismiss anyone who hasn't won as kind of, well, you're a loser, yeah. Right? And in fact,
Dan Marino.
All right, Phil Mickelson's never won. Right. And so, because we love winning. Winning is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, interestingly, for LeBron, it's not that narrative. Now it's, oh, well, he's gotten to 8 straight finals, which that's impressive.
Although 9. Nine now.
No, it's 8. I think it's 8.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 8. That's great. But all we hear now is, and so what? Yes, his record's going to be 3-6. And by the way, if they lose to the Warriors this year, am I going to blame LeBron? LeBron's playing like a superhuman right now. How could you blame LeBron for scoring 51 points?
No.
He can't do anything else. But the interesting thing is that's never usually the template. It doesn't matter. It's you're supposed to win. And we hold that against you. Not anymore. Now it's sufficient. We've made it to 8 Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to go 3-6 if they lose this finals to the Warriors. And that's all just sort of excused because we have to look at the context. Does that ever happen? Can you think of another preeminent, transcendent athlete where the media's basically saying, you know what? We know that they lost a whole bunch more championships than they won. They're still the greatest ever because at least they got there. That I've never heard anyone say.
The closest I would
say
would be Tom Brady and the Patriots, and they've won 5 championships, so nothing against that. But when they had that first beginning of his career, they had 3, and they didn't get to one for a while.
Yeah, but they already had 3.
Understood. Well, LeBron has 3.
Right, but the Patriots have a winning record in Super Bowls. They are now, what, 5-2?
The Patriots or Tom Brady Patriots?
Well, Tom Brady's won 5 Super Bowls, right?
He's won 5 Super Bowls, but the Patriots lost 2 Super Bowls before he was there.
That's true. I'm saying Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are there 5-2,
yeah.
Right? They could very easily have flipped that.
No, 3. They lost 3.
Well, they
2 to the Giants and 1 to the
Eagles.
That's
correct. Right. 5-3 now.
So 5-3. Yes, they have a winning record against, but they didn't always. So that's the closest I can come to it. Every year you hear Tom Brady. He's 40 or 41, and he's going to be the greatest person. They're going to do it again. They're going to back to the Super Bowl. And they very well may be. But at some point, it has to end. The narrative for LeBron is totally different.
Have you ever heard anyone write multiple articles about Tom Brady has been to 7 consecutive AFC championship games? And I don't think he has, but in other words, he's close to that? Nobody cares about that, except when it comes to LeBron. We've gotten 8 straight. You know what? That's impressive. Now, if we actually look at the Eastern Conference for the last 8 years, not quite as impressive. But nevertheless, fantastic.
We still gotta do it. I think if he had won 6 and lost 2, they would be talking about championships. They wouldn't even be talking about Eastern Conference.
Yes, of course they would.
The only people who put up division-winning banners or conference championship banners are the people who haven't won the big one. The Arizona Cardinals, AFC West champions. Who cares? Who cares? You either win the big one or you don't put the banner up because it doesn't matter. It's worthless. So just stop. But you're right. They do talk about the championships, Eastern Conference
the championships. The team that we are being told, and I'm talking about the Cavs, that are a bunch of armless, legless midgets just rolling around on the floor, committing turnovers, causing LeBron to trip over them as they drool on themselves. The thing that fascinates me about this narrative, and I've pointed this out to my friend Eric, is, Chad, were the Cavs favored or not favored in every series up until this one?
They were favored, but they by ranking they shouldn't have been, but they were.
No, that's the point. All the experts, here's the teams they beat. They beat the Pacers, then they beat the Raptors, then they beat the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
They were favored against the Pacers, took them to 7 games, and everyone's like, oh, see, it's so horrible. The Raptors were the number one seed
number
in
one
the
seed.
East. Yes, they're mentally weak.
Nobody believes
Did
they
the
were number one, but
the experts think
yes.
the Raptors were going to beat LeBron because he has such terrible teammates?
No.
Nope. The Cavs were favored. Did the experts then think...
And they did sweep them.
Yes.
So, yes.
Did the experts think that the number 2 Celtics, that was the team that was going to defeat LeBron? Yes or no?
I think with the players they had, no.
No, the vast majority of the experts, who again are the ones that are saying...
I think if Kyrie Irving had been on the team at the time... Yes, I think they
No, but
they
my point
been,
is
right.
that all the people going into that series, again, the same people who are shrieking about LeBron's teammates being pathetic and an embarrassment to the game of basketball, they picked the Cavs to win the series.
Yes.
That seems a little strange to me if you actually believe the team is lousy.
Yes.
So these are now the same people once again saying they have no chance because LeBron is playing with the Little Sisters of the Poor. Isn't it awful for LeBron? LeBron and the Cavs are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get to the finals without having a good team. Are they as good as the Warriors? No. The Warriors have more talent. The Warriors should win the series. Will it be a great victory if LeBron manages to beat the Warriors? Yes. Yeah. Does that mean that LeBron is now all of a sudden the best player ever? No, sorry. But that will be the narrative because everything that LeBron does that's good automatically means he's the best player ever.
Well, I saw some ESPN wrote an article that the Game 7 against the Celtics was the best game he had ever played.
But now it's
in
not.
Any series.
Because this is the best game he just played.
The best game you've ever played is either getting your team to a playoffs for the first time ever, which this is not, or winning a championship in a game 5, 6, or 7 to win a championship. It is not a conference final. It is not a second round, first round ever. I don't care who it is. That is not. That cannot be your greatest game because if it is, your career is worthless. That's pathetic. But,
well,
so,
it's not worthless,
well,
but
if you
it
say,
matters more on it, the biggest stage.
So if Chris Paul had gotten to the finals, would we say the Western Conference Finals, that was his greatest series ever?
Well, for him it might have been
it might have been, but
he's never been to the finals
before. Does that make your career wonderful that your best was getting to the Western Conference Finals and losing, which is what happened?
No, but you're kind of making my point, which is that the things that everyone – you're almost in some ways diminishing LeBron by celebrating this kind of stuff.
You are.
Because LeBron, guess what? LeBron's a champion. He doesn't care about winning the Eastern Conference Finals any – other than the fact that you need to get to the – any more than Michael Jordan would have celebrated, I just hit a game-winning shot against the Cavaliers in the first round. Sure, it was a great play, but that's not what Michael Jordan was playing for.
No. Nor should he be. You pointed out exactly right. If you're celebrating the routine and the mundane, then you don't have much to celebrate. If you're celebrating the amazing, that's what you celebrate. Now, winning against the Celtics in Game 7, that was a great comeback for them. They should not have won that series based on how they were playing, but they did. Same thing with the Warriors. They should not have won that series. They were down 2 games with 2 to play, and they still somehow won the series. Go figure. That doesn't make the Rockets shouldn't go, wow, we almost took them to game. We almost beat them.
And final point, if I hear any another single time, and this I hear this statement all the time, no one else in NBA history could have taken this Cavs team and made it to the finals or beat the Warriors.
How do you know that?
Because I actually love to see Michael Jordan take this team. Maybe he could, maybe he couldn't. This idea that, no, LeBron's the only one that could do it. Really? Magic couldn't have taken this team and done well. Larry Bird couldn't have. Kareem, could we put Kareem on this team? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
LeBron, look, if LeBron averages 50 points a game for the finals and they lose, I will say LeBron played one of the greatest, if not the greatest, finals in NBA history.
Yeah.
He deserves all the credit for that. His team didn't win. Does this alter his standing in any way, shape, or form in the historical pantheon? No.
Still
3-6. You're 3-6. Is that LeBron's fault this series? No, not at all.
No.
But we will hear, we will hear inevitably, yes, no one could have lost in this glorious fashion. Right? That's the argument. He is the greatest. It's the greatest performance in a loss ever, and therefore he must be the best. I've never heard that narrative before.
The star gets the credit, the star gets the blame. If you don't want to
Not anymore. The star only gets the credit. There's no blame
anymore. On this show, the star gets the credit, the star gets the blame.
I'm not
you don't like that? Too bad.
I'm not going to blame LeBron if they lose because it's a hugely uphill climb against the Warriors.
Sure.
But I'm not going to then say, I've just done an algorithm to prove that when you lose 6 championships, if you do the area under the curve and extrapolate, it actually means you've won 17 championships under the value over replacement player analysis. That's the kind of craziness that is going on right now.
It is.
They're diminishing. Here's the thing. Just let LeBron be himself. Let him finish his career. He's great enough. He's already on Mount Rushmore. And stop with the garment kissing and the boot licking and every effort made to turn anything that happens to him into some, it's either some glorious achievement or No, don't believe your lying eyes. His team is actually comprised of paraplegics, and they all stink.
That's true. Folks, I want to remind you, we have a call in number, 717-739-5432, 717-739-5432. You can direct all your sports comments towards Tony. I believe there will be a text battle going on as soon as this episode is published. I just want to be out there.
We've gone way too long.
We've gone way too long. We're going to end it. Thank you for joining us. I'm Chad.
I'm Tony.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Hannah Tree production.